Our epistle for this third Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the first epistle of Blessed Peter the Apostle, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Beloved, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober and watchful, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering befalls your brethren all over the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself, after we have suffered a little while, perfect, strengthen, and establish us. To him is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. At that time, the publicans and sinners were drawing near to him to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." But he spoke to them this parable, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And on coming home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost.' I say to you that even so, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, more than over 99 just who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 drachmas, if she loses one drachma, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the drachma that I had lost.' Even so, I say to you, there will be joy among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. What man of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the desert? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, this gospel, which is probably familiar to most, if not all of us, when studied and understood, especially who our Lord was speaking it to, it highlights a very interesting element. You see, the concept of the individual soul was not a concept of the chosen people. They were the chosen people. This concept was introduced by the good Lord himself. One sinner who repents. One soul. And for our consideration today, I think it's important for us to consider our soul and our relationship with God. Because it doesn't matter what other people think or say. It doesn't even really matter what we really think about it. It matters what God thinks and what God sees. What is our relationship with the good Lord? Do we think we're pretty good because we don't sin? Are we good friends to another because we don't slap them in the face? Or because we don't violate their property and we consider ourselves good friends? Why is it that we consider ourselves good because we don't violate the commandments? Is that what goodness is? Or is there more to it? Does the good Lord want something from us? Well, our Lord does tell us in Scripture about the gospel that he preached and the new commandments he gave. The gospel of love, the commandments of charity. Love the Lord thy God with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole soul, with all your strength. Easy to be said, another thing to be done, and to be consistent in doing it day in and day out, not just on Sunday. And so we must be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves that question: how have I proven today that I love the good Lord more than I did yesterday? Over there in Spokane, close to where I reside, next, they own sheep. And I've got to study these sheep. Not a lot of them. They have a few of them. But These sheep make a whole bunch of noise, from rustling around to going here and going there to being scared of nothing to just crying out for no good reason. I remember one time I opened up my door and there was one eating the grass pretty close to the door. Tried to get his attention. Yeah, he was focused on his own little world. He didn't have a care in the world. So I finally awakened him to the world around him. Time to get lost and getting a little closer. And he looked up all startled and just beside himself and just took off running. It's interesting that the Lord compares us to sheep because we're the same way, aren't we? We're focused on our own little world. We don't really care about the world around us, the reality of the world around us, I should say. We're focused on our own little makeup of how we see things until something awakens us. Perhaps we have a tragedy in the family. Perhaps we have a hardship we have to go through. And just like a sheep, we freak out and we just start running. And it's really not as big as we make it out to be. But the thing that we should be really concerned about, we're not. Like that sheep, he wasn't concerned about predators at the time. I could have been a predator. I walked right up to him. He didn't even notice me. St. Peter, today's epistle tells us, "Brethren, be sober and watchful, for your adversary, the devil, goes about seeking someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith." What does that mean? That means we have to study our faith, and after studying it, we have to live it. And we have to strive to live it more perfectly each day. If we don't, we will become a victim of our enemy, and we will lose our soul. The sheep that cries out to no purpose, we must think and consider that we must make sure that our prayer is not like that. Far too often, too many people can make their prayer like sheep making noise. There's no meaning to it. There's no purpose to it. There's no earnestness about it. Oh, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. And then we go out and we take none of the grace that is available to us with us and make the change that it ought to in our life. No, when we pray, we make our prayer sincere, earnest, humble, contrite. We place ourselves before the Lord as we are. Remember the two men that came up to the temple to pray? The one came up in the front and praised himself. The other stayed in the back and asked for mercy, and he was sincere about his contrition. The two men went home, but only one went home justified. So let us, as we continue with Holy Mass today, with all sincerity, call upon the Lord to help us to overcome our weakness by his strength, to avoid spiritual death by his life, and to find our true home, which is heaven, by following him faithfully. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.